just a small sampling there of the dysfunction on and off the field as Jalen Polk dropping passes again despite the best hands in the league. Amazing how that keeps happening week in and week out. And Jerod Mayo making excuses for guys who have been really vocal after these games and in some cases on social media after games. The KJ Osborne retweeting of that guy's not even his agent. That thing that's
what Giardi said. That the NFLPA says that guy's never negotiated.
Not even his agent. You read the message is ridiculous. It's like, I love you, K. I love you with all there is to love because you were a professional and you went out there and you caught a pass and you didn't even know if you were going to play. It's like, shut up, man. Like, God, like this is
you didn't like
ridiculous
it?
For him to be retweeting that and putting it out there. Like, you scored a touchdown in the game, KJ. Like, people saw it. You don't have to now put like uplifting messages from your friend, not even your agent, just from random guys who are friends of yours and putting them out there on your social media looking like this needy teenage girl is what it looked like. I mean, that was ridiculous. And that's not all. This is just what was said to Andrew Callahan in the Boston Herald as he went around the locker room and was getting all sorts of quotes from all sorts of people, like Daniel Aquale, who told the Herald after the loss to Jacksonville, Jerod just said, everybody's got to check their egos when they come in, and I agree with him. I feel like a lot of guys think too highly of themselves, Andy,
Devon.
And have to check their egos and come in and just play as a team. The energy could have been better, a lot better. We've got to find... Oh, no, wait a minute. This is a different quote. So let's put a pin in that for a second. That was Kendrick Bourne. Let's just digest that Aquale thing. As we've already heard Godchow on these airwaves with the midday show with Jones and Keefe say similar things about guys freelancing. He didn't say guys think too highly of themselves, but maybe Aquale is talking about Godchow. I don't know who's talking about who, but it doesn't sound good. I feel like a lot of guys think too highly of themselves and have to check their egos and come in and just play as a team. Who on this team has the right to have a big ego right now? Honestly,
nobody has the right. Now, I think some people do. Like, I've thought all along, Devon Godchow, going back to the contract thing, when I found out what he was asking for, the high dollar, and I was like, I'd tell him to pound sand. You're not that valuable. It's
really?
2024 in the NFL. We're in a rebuild. We're going to win two games with or without a run stuffer in the middle of the defense.
Who's not stuffing the run.
Right, who's not stuffing the run. But let's rewind a little bit further.
Okay.
The cut we played coming in with Jerod Mayo saying, now, you could also have the conversation with the guy personally. Yeah, you think? Like, for example, if I was actually just going to do it and see if you noticed, but I was going to go to, like, Twitter and be like, working with some guys who babble a lot. Like, I was just going to tweet something. And like, wouldn't that piss you off? Like, if I have a problem, why don't we wait till the break? And I go, hey, you seem to be doing X, or right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that would piss me off. For potentially, the guy is right here in the locker room or right there or three stalls down.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we going? Or if you're in a fight with your wife, do you go to social media and rip her? Because I feel like that's going to make the fight worse.
It's one thing when it's with the coaching staff. And last year, in the last couple of years, I remember Mac Jones and Kendrick Bourne again, by the way. Lots to say.
Always.
Jacoby Myers, other guys sort of speaking out about the game plan, about the coaching, about the short game, all that stuff. You know, like, and Mac was pretty much the ringleader of it, I'd say, and that was part of his attitude issues and whatever else. But they were going against the Belichick coaching staff, which confronting them head-on, I feel like, was not maybe in their best interest. Going about it through the media was maybe something they thought, all right, well, we can't sit down and talk to him. This guy's not going to give me the time of day.
Right.
So I'll say it to the media, get my side out there, that's fine. They're talking about their teammates. They're talking about guys they sit right next to.
For 45 minutes, an hour.
Turn their head over and say, hey, what the hell? Check your ego at the door, whatever you're going to say. That locker room doesn't have much leadership in it, it doesn't seem like.
And it doesn't have a lot of men, in my opinion. I think it's very easy to be vague in the media or vague on social media. Oh, peace out, eyeballs, this, egos, like whatever you want to do. It's a lot harder to be a man and go up and sit and say, listen, I mean, you got to check your ego at the door. We all suck right now.
Yep.
And that includes you. You're not good enough. I'm not good enough. We're all in this together. Like, have that conversation. So if I'm Jerod, those are the conversations I want to have because I agree with you. Going into Bill's office or going after Bill or like probably not going to end well. Probably not going to even be productive,
yeah,
quite honestly. But you'd like to think in a locker room where we've taken down the silos and we have a better culture and everybody hugs everybody, and right? Like, that's what this was built on. You know, what's the phrase that he was asked about today?
Collaboration?
No, it was...
communicate.
Something without being demeaning. Coaching without being demeaning, basically.
Okay.
Like, in a world where everybody's...
Sounds very new agey to me.
Right. But in a world where that is the truth, shouldn't you be able to talk to your teammate?
You'd think so.
Instead, because I find this reminds me of what I deal with and observe from afar, because I try to stay the F out of it, my 15-year-old daughter. and that what she goes through in high school and fans and teams and this and that and social media. Oh, did you see what so-and-so posted? What do you think that means? Who gives a rat's ass? Like, but these are men.
Yep.
These are 22 to 32-year-old men, professionals, and they're acting like they're teenage girls with, like, issues in the hallway at school. Are you going to fight in the girls' bathroom? Like, this drives me nuts because this isn't, to me, about new age or hard-ass, soft-ass. It's unprofessional.
Yeah, it's definitely unprofessional. Kendrick Bourne said this. The energy could have been better, a lot better. We've got to find ways to fight within find ways from within to fight adversity. We know we're going to play at 9:30 through the week. We need to understand that. That's making personal decisions. Rather than staying up all night or eating whatever it is, whatever makes us better, we have to make those decisions to be better so when we get to the game, we can be better. Say better a few more times. We had a good long drives, and that's what we need to play our hardest, but with those drives, we start to get tired. There's self-evaluating we need to do. I don't know who specifically. It's just as a group. It feels like that, just how I operate. I can feel it, so that's where I see we can get a lot better. Kendrick Bourne just rejoined the team like three weeks ago, right?
Yep.
Like, he's only been here a short amount of time, and he's already like, yeah, you guys are staying up too late. You're eating bad food. You're doing this. You're doing that. Like, Kendrick, you're not really doing much out there either, buddy. Like, not to pile on here, but this is interesting. It's interesting seeing who's being vocal, who's pointing stuff out. I don't know who was going out, if they were out partying in London, if they were eating Hot Pockets at midnight or whatever they were doing. But whatever it was, it's produced pretty rotten results here so far, and I think that everybody wants to either point the finger as to why that's going on, deflect the blame away from themselves, or in some cases say, hey, you know, you can't put this all on me. I'm Jalen Pye. You know, it's not all my fault. And to some extent, I agree. This isn't all Jalen Polk's fault.
No.
Jalen Polk is not playing well, but this whole thing, this season's all not on him.
I mean, if he's staying out late and eating like crap, then it might be more his fault than I thought. Or it could be Pop Douglas staying out late, eating like crap, and then being sick the next day. The one thing I didn't like was the end of it, where he says, I'm not talking about anybody specifically. Well, it seems
so. What, everybody's all just out late at night eating weird food? Yeah.
So you are, when you made that comment, you had somebody or some group in your mind, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you saw somebody leaving the hotel or coming back to the hotel. And that's the other issue. If this is an actual problem, there's no bed checks, there's no monitoring, there's no curfews, there's no, because I know that's been around forever.
Mm-hmm.
Belichick, most teams, coaches everywhere have bed checks and curfews and times where you're not allowed to be. So why are these people out there? Is that too much freedom again from the head coach? Because that seems like Kendrick Bourne is thinking very specifically there.
Yeah,
it does. Like, that didn't seem like a vague sort of general discussion about the team.
Equality either. It sounds like they both have people in mind that they're thinking of and talking
about. So go talk to
them. That's what it is. Yeah, exactly.
Especially if you want to be a captain. Kendrick Bourne lobbied to be a captain.
Right.
If you want to be a captain and you're the most tenured, aged member of the wide receiver room, then slide down three bench spots, move up two seats on the plane. You had a long flight back. Plenty of opportunity, right, where you could go sit next to somebody, nuzzle up to them, and tell them you thought they weren't handling themselves as professional, whether that's Polk, whether that's Pop, whether that's Osborne. Could be all of them. Could be Osborne, too, by the way.
Yeah, definitely could be.
Because if Osborne thought he wasn't playing, maybe he's like, well, F it. I'm in London. I might as well go out and eat crap and have fun.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's why he's ticked off.
Could be.
So it could be any of those guys, but you have an opportunity.
And he ends up catching a touchdown pass, so go figure, but yeah.
But Kendrick Bourne has an opportunity to treat those teammates man-to-man, like his coach just said. And even Mayo, I agree with him. You got a problem with Mayo? I believe him that he has an open-door policy. I believe that you could go have a discussion with Gerard Mayo if you're a player and not get grunted at like Belichick would or traded immediately to the Browns like Belichick would. I don't think there would be – first of all, there can't be in this day and age, right? You're not allowed to have what do they call it? Retaliation. I studied my HR rules.
Yeah. Does that count for pro sports? I don't know if it does.
I don't know, but Gerard Mayo comes from an HR world.
Yeah, he does. That's
I don't think he should be retaliating against players, and I don't think he would because I think he cares about those things.
I agree with that. I think that he probably wouldn't, and he's made a big point of saying, hey, you know, if anybody has anything to say, he can come in. We got an open-door policy, and I agree. I believe that just based on his general demeanor when it comes to this stuff. He doesn't overreact to it even when they talk to the media. He doesn't overreact and freak out. He says, yeah, they can express themselves. That's fine. I think he means to me as well. So we'll see. We'll see if this starts to change. So far, it seems like it's not really working out too great. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll get to your phone calls. And coming up next, 2-point conversion with 8.5 minutes left to go. I found myself very confused as to why this was considered such an obvious thing to do. And I heard the Midday Show talking about it as well. Andy, I'm not sure where you stand on this, so maybe we'll have a big, long argument about it. But first, here's Joe Braverman with What's Trending.
Arcan, name the show that it's from, or the musical.
The musical that it's from? Oklahoma?
No.
I don't know.
It's Mamma Mia.
Mamma Mia. Mamma Mia.
Oh, really?
Of course.
My kids were in that recently.
They were in Mamma Mia?
Maybe I wasn't paying attention.
Sounds like it. Yeah, sounds like it slipped right through your fingers, as
Whoops.
A matter of fact. What you just heard there was the failed attempt at the two-point conversion. This was after the K.J. Osborne touchdown, which was a nice throw, I thought, by Drake May. Maybe one of his nicest throws of the whole game. It was like 3rd and 15, and he just throws a dart right in the middle of the field, hits Osborne, gets the touchdown, and then they line up to go for two as they were down by 15. So they missed it, obviously. They throw to Polk. He falls down. Great idea going to him, by the way. And I just, in the real time, this isn't hindsight, in real time, I tweeted it. I said, I don't love going for two there. And you would have thought I had said that, Bill Belichick was a crappy coach and Tom Brady was an average system quarterback or something like that. All these people, what are you talking about? You don't understand why you have to go for two there? You didn't think, you don't understand football? Do you not get mathematics and strategy and blah, 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 blah? And listen, at the end of the day, it's probably a moot point since this team doesn't seem like it could stop a high school rushing attack. But I hated that they went for two there. If you kick that extra point, it's a one-score game, and again, this has been rehashed sort of stuff, and Jones and Keefe, I think, both agree with me, which maybe is some soul-searching.
Good call there.
But either way, I, in real time, thought, why not keep this a one-score game? You have a mentally weak Jacksonville team that is in a bad spot right now, and yeah, they've been going against you, but really what it was about to me is asking your defense to get one stop versus asking your defense to get two stops. Like, that's some preordained thing. Well, you got to know if you need to get two stops, and if you need to know that, then you might as well know right then. No. You should make it so you don't have to get two stops. And also, here's another thing about it. Let's say you get the stop. And let's say you go back and score a touchdown, and you're getting ready to do another two-point conversion. I kept hearing people say, well, if they didn't get it at 8.5 minutes left, then why do you think they would get one at the end of the game? Well, because they just got to stop, and they just went on another touchdown drive.
Yeah, momentum.
That's momentum. That's confidence building. That's maybe you figure out another mismatch that you can exploit. And maybe at that point, Jalen Polk's not on the field anymore. I don't know. Maybe you benched him by then. Like, some other reason. There's lots of reasons that I think that would have been a more favorable thing to do. And, yeah, maybe if you go by the exact science and data and all that, sure. Feel of the game, though? You'd rather a two-score game with 8.5 minutes left. That game's over. It was garbage time. The last 8.5 minutes of the game were garbage time. I would have liked to have seen them playing with at least the threat of being able to take the ball back at some point, go down the field, score a touchdown, and then try the two-point conversion at the end. Because in that circumstance, we wouldn't have known that you didn't get it the first time.
Right.
And you'll have scored a touchdown. You'll have had momentum on your side, and I think that that sort of thing does matter. And I also think you're putting pressure on the Jacksonville offense if it's a one-score game, as opposed to being up two and them knowing they can make a mistake or two, and it's not the end of the world. Like, I just think you play defense differently. They would have played offense differently. And then if you had gone and scored another touchdown, you'd be feeling a lot better about yourself. I just, that whole thing made no sense to me. I hated that they went for it. I feel like if you're a really good team or a good offense, then yeah, go by all those analytics. You're not. You're none of those things. You have to go with the best thing you can to stay in a game. And instead, they didn't get it, and they're down 9, and the game was over. I mean, it was garbage time after that.
Yeah, I wasn't super passionate. I would have kicked the ball because I come from sort of just a philosophy, you extend the game, like put the decision off as long as possible.
Right.
Clearly, Gerard's the opposite. He wants to know more immediately what the situation is. Negative, we miss it. I know what I need. I now need two scores. Like, it's just the reality. But
do you think that was his call, 100% his call?
No, I think Evan Rothstein, I mean, he has credited that guy as being his Ernie. So I definitely think that was involved. Now, I will also say, they're young. They're learning.
Right.
Maybe this was a piece of experience where they will treat this differently in the future if a similar situation comes up. But on your side of it, not only do you then potentially go for two with the momentum, you have the Jags on the ropes, right?
Yep.
If you get to that next two-point conversion, who knows how the game plays out? Maybe you steal a safety along the way with something stupid.
A scoop and score. Who knows?
Right. Like, anything could happen in that. But the 2 points could come via, like, safety would be my example. Let's just say something weird happens and they take over on the 5-yard line. And then there's holding in the end zone. Trevor Lawrence drops back to pass, holding in the end zone. Safety,
yep.
You get 2 points. It changed. Why you forced your hand there I don't really get. And it's also in this game, I think it'd be, I would feel differently if the score were more elevated and points were just coming in flurries. Yeah. And you're like, nobody's stopping anybody. We're getting this two right here because you haven't stopped me all day long, right?
Yeah.
But that wasn't really the situation.
No, other than the second quarter, it really wasn't. Yeah.
You're trying to claw back into it. So I would have extended the game. I would have kicked it and then seen how it played out and made the decision later as to how we were going to handle it, whatever, reacted to a two-point conversion that we missed. Now we're chasing onside kick, whatever. However it plays out. But I wasn't overly passionate about it because I do kind of get where Jerod is coming from, gathering information and wanting to play out a longer time frame with as much information as possible. But it's also negative information.
Yeah, once you get that information, the game's over.
Right.
It's not the information
that's
that
what
want.
I mean. It's like, it's like finding out you're broke as to hoping you're not broke yet. Like, as soon as you check that bank account and you know you're broke, where you're like, damn it, I really did think there was $10,000 still in there, but those zeros pretty much tell me we're not eating for a while, kids.
And it's really a question of, what do you think's more likely? They can convert a two-point conversion, which, again, they didn't. I understand that. But is it more likely they do that with however many chances, or that they get two stops against the Jaguars, who they hadn't been able to stop really at all in the second half? What more of those? Which one of those two things is more likely? One stop in a two-point conversion, or two stops and two touchdown drives, or a touchdown drive and a field goal drive, which is what you would
multiple
needed.
Stops, not good.
Multiple stops and multiple scoring drives. Like, it's just come on.
Well, I got faith in Drake May. Drake May will get us all the points we need. It's the multiple stops I have an issue with.
I mean, he only got you 16 points.
All right, I don't need details.
Fine, fair enough. But it's not like he was out there scoring.
You think that was all on him?
No, not at all.
Okay, thank you.
The running game would have
Alex Van Pelt, Stevenson, the run game, the 17th different offensive line. They're going to break records.
Agreed.
You see that from Cold Hard Football Facts? They're at 12, and they're going to break the record for most linemen used.
Is that going to go up in the Patriots Hall of Fame next door? Is that going to be?
Probably.
All the different lines. They're going to have all their jerseys retired up there.
Well, it would if they were winning games.
Yeah, probably.
But when you're losing games, I think you try to just sweep that under the rug.
All right, let's go to the phone. 617-779-7937. Let's start with Ryan in Boston. Go ahead, Ryan.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up,
so
Ryan?
You watched that game yesterday. You watched this team so far this year, and it's completely obvious that they're completely devoid of talent. But not just at the team, outside of a couple few bright spots. They're devoid of talent at every level of the organization. That's what happens when you hire the cheap free agents, the free agents nobody else wants, and the guys on your own team. That's what happens when you hire cheap coaches with no experience. That's what happens when you hire cheap GMs with no experience because you want to save a couple bucks. You look at the players, the players survey that came out last year. They're cheap around the team, even for the players. Look at the people that help out around the stadium on Sundays. It's a tax write-off for the crafts. They don't pay them.
I don't know about all that. Thanks for the call, Ryan. I don't know if that's true that they don't pay the people who help out during the game. They pay those people.
Oh, there's a lot of concession stands that are run by charities, and they make money for their charity.
Oh, they do? I didn't even know that. I had no idea.
Like, I know our town's marching band runs a thing, and the kids collect money to run the band for the year or whatever. I don't know how it all works.
They run, like, food and beer and stuff like that?
You, like, run a concession stand, and you have to staff it. So there's kids, like, from the band that go work it. I know a woman who helps run it.
Oh, okay.
I don't know how that works.
All right, well, listen, sorry.
On the back end,
I didn't mean to cut the call off. I just didn't know about that.
Yeah, on the back end, in terms of how it works as a tax write-off, I'm sure it is. I don't know the details of that, but I'm sure it is.
Okay, fair enough.
It's called smart business. I don't actually have a problem with it. Everybody makes out.
Sure.
The band gets money and the crafts get a tax write-off. Who's hurt?
Okay, sure. And for the concessions, I don't really care about that either. But when it comes to the GM and it comes to the offensive coordinator and all these other things, it's not quite the same, I would say. And when it comes to the players on the roster, too.
Are we sure that Alex Van Pelt is cheap?
No, I'm not sure of that, but I would guess he probably wasn't asking for the moon.
Oh, I don't think he was asking for the moon.
Considering it was the only offensive coordinator job he was getting offered.
I just wonder what
he's
getting paid. I wonder, do we know what Mayo's getting paid?
No.
Do we know what Elliot Wolf is getting paid?
I don't know any of that, no.
I don't either. So I don't want to just assume necessarily that none of them are making the going wage. Now, they didn't do the traditional model, and your Washington Commanders did the traditional model. They went and got not Scott Peters, that's our offensive line coach, Adam Peters, hired a GM who then went out and got his coaching staff and built a team in his vision, former Patriots assistant. By the way, you could have gone after Adam Peters if you know, under my theory where they like to have ties to guys. He's a guy that has a tie to this organization. There's a lot of them out there with ties to this organization. It's not that hard to find guys with ties to the Patriots, and you chose to go with the guy that's got more ties to the Packers in-house. Now, whether it was the cheap route or not, I have no idea because I've not seen anybody report on the salaries of these guys.
There is the report last winter about Gerard Mayo and the buyout clause, right?
Yes.
This was Bedard, I think, saying that the buyout for Gerard Mayo was $10 million. He said it was a rumor. He didn't put his full weight behind it. But, you know, I mean, that could give you a clue as to what's going on there. You have Gerard Mayo didn't interview anyplace else. You have Elliot Wolf didn't interview anyplace else. Maybe Wolf has fallen off the map for other teams, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I haven't gotten real numbers on it, but we do know that there's candidates they were looking at for offensive coordinator who left to get more money or get paid somewhere else.
Yeah, wanted more money. Nick Caley wanted north of $4 million a year. Now, using that number, let's just say the buyout is $10
million. Mm-hmm.
Does that mean he was going to make $5 million a year or something? Is it like a two-year buyout or something?
That was Mayo's buyout.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, sorry.
Because
if
he's only making $5 million a year, that's a low-end head coach.
Yeah.
Especially if Nick Caley's asking for four and change to be the offensive coordinator when he has never called a play at the NFL level in his life.
Mm-hmm.
We make these broad assumptions. I've not seen it reported definitively what these guys are making. So that would make it even worse, by the way. I think some people might get angry. Let's just say you found out that they gave Alex Van Pelt $4 million a year. Would you be happy?
No.
Because at least if you think he's making, I don't know, whatever the low end is, $1.5 million, $2 million a year, you're like, well, you're getting what you paid for. You didn't go over the top. But I have no idea what any of these guys are making.
Yeah, but also getting what you pay for when it sucks means you should have paid more for something else is, I guess, the point.
Or
right?
Just pick somebody else.
Yeah.
I actually don't really give a rat's katukus about the salary.
Mm-hmm.
I look at it and say very simply, Alex Van Pelt called plays in 2009. From 2010 to 2023, no one asked him to call plays.
Right.
Why?
Probably because he wasn't very good at it.
Like, I just, and I always use the phrase, in a league where they give everybody a shot to call plays.
Or maybe it even wasn't so much he wasn't good at it. It was that his offenses were sort of old and people were looking for newer, younger ideas and guys from the Shanahan tree and guys from the McVay tree and whatever, the Andy Reid, whatever else.
Sure.
I mean, that's probably something to do with
maybe.
It.
Maybe. I just feel like the league needs a lot of offensive play callers. They change them a lot. The teams get turned over. Head coaches get turned over a lot. And he went 15 years without getting an opportunity. Now, maybe he just got screwed. Maybe he absolutely got blackballed, screwed. People didn't like him. Oh, nope. Everybody says they love him.
Everybody loves him.
So,
and if he got screwed, he's not really showing a good reason why they made the wrong choice.
So
right?
that's what kind of catches my eye. Like, how do you go 15 years without getting a shot? And I don't know that there's an answer. Or maybe there's an answer. Maybe people knew he wasn't really suited and or qualified for the job. There's no shame in being a quarterback guru.
Right.
It's why I've said, is there a possibility you keep him around? Because the play calling questions are going to grow. The people criticizing the play calling, wanting a change in play caller, oh, Ben McAdoo, or go get somebody at the end of the season are going to grow. But as Curran brought up, the development of the quarterback looks pretty good. And who was tasked with doing that? Alex Van Pelt.
100%.
So let's just keep him around to develop the quarterback. Maybe you're even paying him a quarterback guru salary, not really an OC salary, and bring in Brian Daboll to call plays and run the offense or something like that.
Move Mayo to defensive coordinator, bring in a real head coach. I mean, there's a lot of ways you could go with this.
Mike Vrabel?
There's ways you could go. There's ways you could go.
I'm going to say that Mayo probably wouldn't want to stick around and just be the DC after he was
I don't think HC. He would either. He'd take a DC job somewhere else, maybe, if he's still got that kind of sway. I don't know. I mean, this hasn't been a great year for him. I'll say that. He was getting offers before, and he turned most of them down. He got interviews that he turned down. I think one was in Cleveland, Denver as a defensive coordinator, and he half the time didn't even take the meetings because he knew that this was coming his way. So we'll see. We'll see if that if that's the kind of interest still exists for him.
Is this discussion premature, unfair, unprofessional? How would you deem this discussion we're having?
I don't think it's any of those things.
Like, are they having this in Carolina
or anything?
Are they having this discussion in Carolina where they stink and Dave Canales stinks and are they?
They might be. Yeah.
Now the issue they had
one and done last year.
Yeah. Well, that's the issue they have. Yeah. Is I think they've had a couple one and duns here.
You're right, yeah.
Like
I think they've had
three out of four years or something.
Right, yeah.
So that actually probably helps him because the owner's probably like, I can't keep doing this. I mean, I'm going to look like an absolute clown more than a clown that I already look like dumping drinks on people in the front row in front of my suite.
Right.
But from a Patriots perspective.
Yeah, it went Rule, Tabor, Canales. Yeah, Reich. I mean, this is all, you're going on four. Yeah, Tabor, when Reich got fired, it was Tabor who was the interim head coach. That would be Chris Tabor. Who was, I don't even know where the hell he is. I mean,
I've never heard that name in my life.
Yeah, Chris Tabor. I don't know where
Tabor Academy.
Head coach, yeah, I guess. Head coach with the Bears. No, special teams coordinator with Carolina, and he got elevated to the interim head coach when they fired Frank.
Okay. No, but I just, like, when a team is really bad and dysfunctional and things are going wrong, the head coach is in the crosshairs.
Yep.
That's just the way it works, right? Isn't that the course of doing business in football?
It absolutely
is.
Okay,
so we're not being unfair.
Usually you don't get the big song and dance, but, you know, back stairway agreement that you got and you had with Gerard Mayo here. I mean, this was all done very uniquely.
That is definitely a part of it. You should have known. You did know. You know the quality of the person. And I think that is what most people assume will keep him around, that if he was from another organization, you might just say, oh, that is not what I thought I was bringing in from afar. That's not what the recommendations gave me. I mean, Robert Kraft didn't need recommendations. This is his pick.
Yep.
By his gut.
Didn't
in
even
Israel,
interview anybody
like,
else.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
The whole thing, wrote it up. So you can't really claim you didn't know what you were getting.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you were getting.
This is what you
wanted.
And this is what you insisted upon.
Right.
You know, that's 100% right. 617-779-7937. We'll get to more of your phone calls. And we'll take a look at the Patriots' run defense. Tank Bigsby, I think, is still picking up 6 yards a carry here after a dominating performance out there in England. We'll get to all that with your phone calls next. Tank Bigsby just steamrolling, bulldozing the Patriots' defense all game long. That stretch of the 17 runs in a row, I mean, is that as emasculating as it gets?
Yeah.
Like, it is, right? I mean,
absolutely.
There's not too much else that can happen that is worse than that for a defense. If they're just, I mean, it reminded me of that Patriots-Bills game in the wind. Remember when they didn't want Mac to throw, so they just ran every single play?
Correct.
And the Bills couldn't stop. I mean, the Bills couldn't stop them. They won, like, 13-6 or whatever the score was. But, like, they weren't able to stop them enough times. This was different. I mean, they couldn't stop them at all. They just picked up big runs, big gains, first downs, really no threat of them plugging up the right hole. It seemed like they were able to figure out where the Patriots' defense was lined up, run to the other side, and it was really just up the middle. I mean, you weren't seeing a lot of exotic stuff here. You weren't seeing jet sweeps. You weren't seeing read options or anything like that. You weren't even seeing off-tackle runs or anything. It was just up the middle this side, up the middle that side, very basic sort of high school football type stuff, you know, and that's it. You know,
is that a shot or is that, what was that?
No, because you're watching a lot of high school football. That's
it all. Actually hurt because I watched actually my son's team lose a game this way.
Oh, really?
18-play scoring drive where they ran it right up the gut because you couldn't stop them. But
you know what I'm talking about.
I do. Yeah. But the fact that they never tried anything, like I would have gotten frustrated. Maybe that's why wouldn't be a good coach. I would have run blitzes, sell out to stop the run. I'm not going to let you keep running it down my throat. Like it felt like there was a you-know-what measuring contest going on, and we were coming up short, literally and figuratively. And I think I would have reacted, just stop it. And if you beat me on a pass, you beat me on a pass. Like, if you pick the right time and go play action, you're probably going to beat me over the top. Okay, whatever. But to just allow you to continue run after run after run, and I think it got to 19. I think it almost reached the 20s. Like, I can't remember many times I've seen that, especially as you said, it wasn't windy or snowing or raining, or it was a normal game on a normal field where they just said, you can't stop us, even if you want to.
And Lawrence was having a pretty good game. He was he was 15 of 20. Like, you know, he was out there hitting his guys for the most part. He had a couple of good throws, and I forget the touchdown to Thomas. And it's not like they needed to run it because there was no passing
attack. No.
They were doing it deliberately.
The run defense was the worst part of the defense.
Mm-hmm.
No part of the defense was good.
No.
You're not off the hook. You don't get to say the pass rush wasn't good. You didn't win the matchup with Brian Thomas. You can tell me Gonzalez was there and it's a good throw, but whatever. That's what playing number one corner in the NFL is. You got to run around with elite number one options. And when they weren't completing them, we were giving you all the credit in the world.
Right.
So I can't give you credit for, you put up a good fight on Brian Thomas. No, it was a 58-yard game.
Trevor Lawrence's QB rating was 95. Mays was 40.5. His passer rating was 121.5. Mays was 109.7. Lawrence was having a very good day.
He was good.
And they said, you know what, Trevor, just take a break. You know, just turn around, hand it to the tank, and the tank's going to just run over these guys, and that's what they did.
Well, because they probably figured the only way we lose is if we, you know, have a cheap turnover, deflected pass, something happens.
Mm-hmm.
Because these teams kind of played up to their resume. It was two bad teams.
Agreed.
The defenses are not good, and they had the points they needed to win. Like, they controlled the game. After the start, where they seemed like they weren't going to control it, the Patriots were going to control the game, the Jags absolutely controlled the game for three quarters. And I can see, I said this, I feel like they need to be more of this, and I don't know if Mayo is going to handle it well, but this is a team coached by an all-pro middle linebacker.
Yeah.
But it doesn't feel like a team coached by an all-pro middle linebacker, right?
Right.
Like, I don't see Mike Singletary. I don't see the Dan Campbell
Singletary
fire.
Singletary wasn't much of a coach either.
I didn't say it was great, but you kind of knew what he was looking for.
Right.
I don't – there's like this weirdness of – this feels like a Joe Philbin coach team, not a Gerard Mayo coach team, right?
Yeah.
Ah, the nice old man who loves everybody, and we love him. Yeah, and we stink, and we're soft as puppy poo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The middle linebacker, this was a guy that was the next Ray Lewis.
Cannot play with him. Cannot win with him. Cannot coach with him.
See, like, I'd like to have a little bit of that energy. Like, again, this was the next Ray Lewis. Do you think Ray Lewis's team would look like this?
Probably not.
No,
I don't know what the hell it would look like, but I don't think it would look like this.
I think it would be a different type of debacle.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't be a soft debacle. I don't think he'd be calling his team out for being soft. I don't think they'd be playing games on social media. I think they might be fighting in the locker room. It might just be flat-out fights in the locker room. It might be a different dysfunction. But I think this team would be better off if they looked more like a middle linebacker coach the team.
Yeah, agreed. Let's go to the phones. Rob is in Middleton with a thought on the Patriots, the 2000 Patriots. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, I have a couple of suggestions for you guys and praise.
Okay.
One is your talk about the two-point conversion is 100% right. Arcan, nice. You mentioned feel, and that's what they did not take into account, feel. Secondly, Mr. Hart,
y'all.
I have a problem with you calling last week wide receivers divas. And I would say that Elway, Marino, Favre, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady fit the bill, and they got guys fired. And I just want to say one final thing.
He didn't say the QBs
weren't.
The enemy, he just said
Eric Bieniemy should be considered. Eric Bieniemy should be mentioned in any OC talk. He's a winner from a Super Bowl team, and not to mention him, I think does a disservice to him. And just to mention white guys, I have a problem with. Thank you.
Okay. I didn't know who was mentioning just white guys.
Wow.
I'm not sure where that came from, but all right. Where Eric Bieniemy's at UCLA, right?
Yes.
Are they doing okay this year? How are they?
I have no idea.
Yeah. I think they won this past week, but I'm not sure.
Foster's OC, right?
Is that right? Yeah,
Deshaun Foster's their
head coach,
and Eric Bieniemy is the OC.
Bieniemy, proud Colorado Buffalo. I always root for him because of that. And I do think that there was something going on with him when they were going through the cycles and the coaching stat, and no one wanted to touch him.
UCLA is 2-5.
2-5. All right, so not very good. But I mean, listen, I don't know how good they were to begin with. Either way, there was something weird going on with Bieniemy when he was with the Chiefs, and then they were talking about head coaching opportunities, and he'd never got any interviews even. Like, no one even wanted to sit down with him. I thought that was weird. And then some stories came out about him back in Boulder and, you know, some other stuff.
Well, then he got to Washington, and they hated him.
Right, yeah. He was
there was like a mutiny.
Yeah.
I believe they were going to have a mutiny. All the players, it was like Pro Football Talk was writing about it pretty frequently. So I don't know. And Washington, just in case anyone forgets, picked second in the draft this year.
Yes,
they
did.
Were like you. They were dysfunctional
they
last
sucked.
Year, and they got to pick. So it's not like he nailed it there.
Listen, I'm not saying, you know, you should never work again or anything. I'm just saying there were other reasons for why he didn't get those
He's like
of
Alex Van Pelt. They both got blackballed for some reason.
And if
neither could get a job.
If he was killing it at UCLA, I'd say, sure, look. I mean, look, he's running a great offense, but it doesn't seem like that's happening. So I don't know. I don't care what race the offensive coordinator is. If they can put an offense together, that's all that really matters to me.
I mean,
I think that's all that matters to anybody.
We've been ripping Alex Van Pelt from start to finish, and he's white as snow.
Yes.
Right? Like, I mean.
Quite.
I think. We've
He's so white, you have to pronounce it white.
That's exactly right.
That's how white he is.
As for the diva wide receivers, yes, I believe receivers are divas inherently at all levels of football.
Mm-hmm.
I also believe a lot of quarterbacks are divas at all levels of football. I don't remember us getting into that discussion. I actually think part of the problem in New England that led to the departure of Tom Brady is he went down Diva Boulevard when he married Giselle. He became more of a diva QB, started going down the idea, and that's why Drake May – I have been very happy that doesn't have a logo and a marketing arm and merch and all these websites. Now, he probably should because he's getting good, and sooner or later he's going to be passing up dollars. But
I'd imagine
I don't love
be
it.
Some sort of, you know, DM10 or whatever coming out.
Plus, I think he's a CAA client. I think they retweeted, like, look at this kid go or something. So they're like,
they'll find something.
Website. We could design a logo. They're probably on it. They wanted to make sure he could play first, but they're probably on
first
it.
First, you get like the Honeydew Donuts ad, you know? That's like the entry level sponsorship that you get. And then it goes like, you get like the watch, and then all of a sudden, you oh, get yeah. shoe,
the cars.
Then you, then you get your own brand. I mean, there's a whole there's steps to take. I don't know if I don't
he's
know
probably
where he is.
Now. Maybe he'll push back on it. Maybe we should ask him.
Yeah,
why don't you ask him?
Yeah, I'll ask him. I'll ask him all about his sponsorship opportunities.
You've been passing up sponsorship opportunities. Mac Jones already had a logo by this point in his career.
Yeah, you're really, really behind that.
By the way, don't do what Mac Jones did.
Try and be more like Mac Jones, would you? Tim is in Hanover before the break. Go ahead, Tim.
What's up, guys?
Hey, Tim.
Hey, I just want to say I called in last week, and I mentioned that the Jags team is a better team than what their record indicated, and it sure proved it this weekend.
Looked like it this
Unfortunately,
weekend,
Unfortunately, we all knew that the Pats were bad. They're bad.
Worse than their record would indicate.
And there's no changing that. Yeah, exactly. And it was like a one-win type thing that Andy predicted. And I was like right behind you. I'm maybe three. But, I mean, now I might be on two. I'll tell you what. The thing is, we got a little taste of winning right in the beginning, and everyone's like, oh, wow, this is like the Red Sox.
Right.
You get a little bit of, and then next thing is slammed down. It's not going to change. They just got to try and make some moves, do what they got to do. And I, like I said, during the weekend or week, Polk is a zero, right? He got zero receptions this time. Booty got one pass, 33 yards. The other one wasn't even close to him that he was supposed to get. So you know what? Get those guys, mock them up, get rid of the ones we don't need, and pass them on. Let the other teams think that they can catch, and let's see what happens.
All right, thanks for the call, Tim. 617-779-7937. We're going to take a quick break. I can tell you that we will be talking with Drake May and Jonathan Jones at some point after 4 o'clock, which, duh, it's about to be 4 o'clock
well, hopefully
right
before
now,
6.
And we haven't talked to him yet. In between 4 and 6 o'clock. And that's about as on the nose as I can give you right now. We will be talking with the quarterback and also with John Jones, starting defensive back for this Patriots team, reeling now with a record of 1-6 after another ugly loss across the pond. Interesting, by the way, that you came out with your opening take, Andy, and it's just sort of hit me. You came out with your opening take about Jerod Mayo and his job status after an ugly loss in Europe. Isn't that exactly when, according to Tommy Curran anyway, the Crafts decided, you know what, we're ready to move on from Bill. After an, and it was obviously different circumstances. It wasn't his first year. It was his 20-something year. But it was at those games matter over there. It matters to those guys. If you go out there and embarrass them in Europe for some reason, that's worse than losing here. I don't know why, but it is definitely echoed and reverberated here. And you can tell. I mean, you could just tell coming in here that they're – It's a bit of a dreary day. It's a bit of a dark day here in Patriots Nation. 617-779-7937. Quick break. We'll be right back with more and hopefully with Drake May and Jonathan Jones.